Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hear Me Monsters Radio. This is the Sunday show, Political Roundtable, a progressive political roundtable with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Berry. And it's been a hell of a week at sea, gentlemen. It's you guys were on topic before we went on air about a couple of important things. One of the most important dynamics, I think, of the week has been Trump and the violence and hatred that he leaves in his wake. And how many people, Jack, died this week, and how many are in the hospital?
29 people died as a result of Trump's fascination with violence, and an indirect result or a direct result of it, however you want to take it. And like 46 people, I think, are in the hospital recovering in various stages of wound repair, so to speak. And it's terrible. Two mass shootings, another two more that we just don't need and are uncalled for and are happening way too often. You know, I remember years ago in 1966, there's a big brouhaha about a big shooting on the University of Texas campus. Some guy got in a bell tower and started shooting at people indiscriminately down below. That was a long time ago, and now it's almost every day. I think it's 1.3 a day, mass shootings.
Yeah. 250 mass shootings have occurred in 216 days of this year.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's how much. It was not that bad before. We've had mass shootings kicking up for several years now, pre-Trump.
Oh, but they're epidemic now. They're constantly happening, way too often.
Well, he fans these flames, and there's no excuse. There's no excuse for what's happened. For a twisted man to walk in with an assault weapon, I don't care if it's Texas or it's New York City, to walk into a Walmart with his gun pointing out. And
yeah, that was in El Paso.
Yeah, and then, of course, there was the bar in Dayton, Ohio.
My God. You know, two relatively peaceful, mediocre, middle-class-oriented locales in completely different geographical areas of the country, but regardless, peaceful in nature and nonviolent, and all of a sudden, huge amounts of horrific violence erupts just overnight almost, just at the because Trump doesn't seem to care. There are good people on both sides, he says. No, I'm sorry, Trump, there's no good people that they're wielding shotguns in the middle of a Walmart and killing people indiscriminately.
That being swastikas and Confederate flags and Nazi salutes and burning crosses, these aren't fine people. These are sick bastards.
Yeah, and they're wacko. And then we're just engulfed with them. They're from coast to coast. There's wackiness going on like mad. And I guess Trump is he might not be leading it, but he's certainly not stopping it. And he's certainly not using the bully pulpit to keep these people from rising up and acting in such a crazy, crazy fashion. It's just insane.
Jack, I would say it's the inverse, because he's going around. This is how he got elected, by whipping up hate groups.
The
nut jobs. And I'm quoting Jack Kemp, you know, there are good demographics get whipped up at election time, you know, the nut jobs. Quote from Jack Kemp, me. And matter of fact, the one in Texas even had a manifesto that his goal was to go out and kill as many peoples as he wanted, just to just like Trump says we should be doing, or something to that effect.
Well, that's insane. And, you know, I don't know where these people get the idea that they can just indiscriminately kill people and get away with it. What are they trying to prove? What statement are they making by killing innocent people? It's insane.
They're not making any statement that isn't ego-based. I mean, it's all about them. They feel sorry for themselves, and they
they're just taking it out indiscriminately on others. It's just insane.
Well, they're not really sane to begin with. They're not balanced. So these are people who are acting out, and basically. Did you guys notice that I got dropped from the show?
No, I didn't know that. What? How did that happen?
I got dropped
from your own show. That's pretty bad.
I blame it on the commies.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. I did. I honestly did. But yeah, no, it's been pretty horrendous this week. But I will say this: I was very impressed with how Mayor Pete handled his conversation today. I mean, all the Democrats that they've spoken with have been pretty good, pretty on target.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Mayor Pete was real eloquent because he said what needed to be saying without overexcited passion or.
Right. Very level-headed. And, you know, yes. He speaks like a guy twice his age, easily. He speaks like a seasoned old pro, and he's not that. He's a first-time mayor of a medium-sized city in Indiana, and you would never know it because he speaks so eloquently and so intelligently.
Well, you know, some people are born for things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whether he rises meteorically in the polls and captures the nomination is another thing, but obviously he has a future in helping humanity survive the crisis we're in right now. I think that's
absolutely
true.
Yeah, a seasoned veteran voice and a relatively younger guy. That's great. Hope for the future.
It is. And you know what else is hopeful for the future? What I saw out of young people this last couple of days about assault weapons and about supporting progressive candidates.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I listened after the last debate, which, you know, was such a car wreck. The second debate was seeing that. Now, anybody who believes for a red hot minute that CNN arbitrarily pulled names to be on the stage with one another is more naive than I can even think of myself ever being in my life. The other thing was they were baiting it so that they would drive ratings. And this is an old game.
Of course. And it isn't just CNN. They all play that game. You know, they need ratings so badly, and they're so competitive with each other.
To a certain extent, yeah, but I didn't see MSNBC doing that because their hosts have more integrity and they're smarter than most of the guys. The only one I was surprised to see that seemed to really be very genuine and trying hard not to play that game was AC, who I think of eternally as the log cabin Republican weenie. He's great. He's a great reporter. Anderson Cooper is fabulous on the road. He is good with people. He's an empath.
He is.
But when they put him on that desk to talk to people, he becomes this little quasi-Republican gay man, doesn't want to be thought of as gay. And he pulls he just is like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So the car wreck that was the second the second debate was nothing like how the progressive lineup handled those questions. You know, they saw it coming.
Biden did look better on the second debate than he did on the first. He was kind of ambushed on the first one. He didn't expect to be attacked the way he was, or that Barack Obama's record would be impugned the way it kind of was. But regardless, he's doing better, but he still might be in the lead, but I just can't see him I can't see him being president.
There were three credibly published articles this week that pointed out the metrics of the polling that's being done, even by Quinnipiac, and they're skewing. It's skewed. It's landline. It's email survey, and the metrics of social media that they poll are only their own, which means anybody who follows them on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, and the vast majority of younger people. Well, the vast majority of people, even my age on down, but that's where people are conversing and where these politicians are getting their most attention, and it's a larger majority than what they're saying. The other thing is, it's insulting, and I've heard this from Black women in my own community who are saying, my age, who are saying it's insulting to listen to anyone demographic them as pro-Biden or pro-anyone at this point that is not progressive. Mm-hmm. So I think that what's going on is we've got a huge push, especially by the DCCC, for status quo. And if anyone is status quo, it's old Joe.
Well, and the DCC is by no means a progressive element of the Democratic Party. It's solidly institutionalized Democratic, old-fashioned Democratic party. It's not in line at all with what's really going on currently. And, you know, I got a feeling the progressives are really going to surprise the country
and exert
a very strong influence that none of the media is paying attention to. It's a shame, but as long as we win, who cares, you know?
Did you hear what Michael Moore said on MSNBC after all that kind of DCC status quo crap came up after the debate? He came up.
Yeah, he looked a little bit tired too. I guess this is wearing him out now too.
Yeah, he said, "You people have to get your act together. This is you are not realistically, you know, putting what's going on out there." And so, first of all, if we don't get inspired and have inspirational candidates, we're lost.
Yeah.
And the way Biden performed on that stage, Jack, I think Trump had wiped the floor with him, actually.
Well, I don't know that. I think it would be closer than that. I don't think it would be a landslide Trump. I don't think Trump is capable of pulling that off.
No,
but regardless, it isn't as strong a candidate as we could offer.
I don't mean that he wouldn't win the election. I mean that if he went to debate him or anything, I think Trump would wipe the floor with him.
He would do it with bullshit because he can't do it with facts or truth.
He
doesn't pay attention to those.
He always
Someone
has.
Assumes it's Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton won the debates on topics, but he ran in front of her. He intimidated her. He stood directly behind her.
What an asshole. You know, that was so low.
Walked in front of her, you know.
Yeah.
That was a dominant move. He's going to pull that shit with Biden and own Biden.
Yeah.
You know who he's really afraid of? I'll tell you who he's really afraid of.
Elizabeth Warren.
He's afraid of Aunt Betsy. You bet your ass he is. He's afraid of her.
With good reason, man. She could pin him down any number of ways with any number of needles, pin him solidly to the pavement. And, you know, her policy recommendations are phenomenal, and they're way heads and tails above everybody else's. She's offered a list of solid policy planks that the Democratic Party would be foolish to ignore.
And she's worked the numbers out, too, because that's her gig. That's what she does. And,
she's very expert, you know. She's incredibly good.
People realize that she is incredibly popular, and still is Bernie. But he's not as popular.
He's starting to wane, though.
Well, he's grown a little like Biden with his stumbling on answers a bit. But that shouldn't be, you know, anything against him.
Well, he's no longer a fresh alternative. He's been there and and done that and narrowly lost to Hillary. But and that doesn't make him irrelevant or that he won't matter at all, but it does make him less noticeable and less potent, if you will.
Well, he and Warren are the standout progressives. Absolutely.
Yep, no doubt about it.
They are the dreamers. They are the inspired ones. And with Warren, she's got it down in black and white how to get it done.
Incredible,
and
I
think she already knows who she would put to task. I think she has her cabinet and everything laid out, to tell you the truth.
I wouldn't be surprised a bit.
Well, she's been working for 4 years on this, and she seems to have a steady head of steam. I mean, like Klobuchar, who I was very impressed with, who made it to the Senate to open her mouth this week. I thought she did fantastic.
She did a nice job, I thought. Yeah, she did. But I don't think she has the standing or the pull politically to get the job done. But we'll see.
She's a moderate. She's a status quo kind of lady. She's not that she would be a Joe Biden.
She's not a flaming progressive by any stretch. No.
Right. No. She doesn't want to set the world on fire. And the truth is, the world's already on fire, and you're going to need some pretty big changes to put the fires out. I don't know if people realize this week how much of the polar ice cap melted, and that we are. Like five milliliters higher in our sea levels. I live in Florida, and I know.
That's not good, that's not good.
It's not good as a state.
The Naval Academy just had to increase their bulkhead along the Chesapeake Bay by 10 inches just to try to hold back the dike, you know, a dike, to hold back the Chesapeake Bay at high tide and after a storm.
Wow.
There's a couple different substations that I'm working on and designing, making improvements on in the Baltimore area, where, you know, the Ellicott City, if you'll remember, flooded twice within 3 years on a 100-year annual floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a substation, I won't say the name, but basically, you know, after a heavy rain, there's a little stream that runs by. Well, it turned into a torrent thing and
actually
and knocked it out. Actually, shorted out because the water was so high, shorted out that substation. So now they're building a dike wall between it and that little stream to help keep that from happening.
It's scary. And, you know, people, until it's right in their front yard or in their living room, they just don't pay attention. They're too distracted by other bullshit, you know.
But their children are. Their children are.
Oh,
and
exactly.
And the young generation.
But their children don't hold any power yet. That's the whole problem. Can we wait that long? I don't think so.
You're thinking of children in terms of little children. I am talking about people who have been registered by Parkland students and others for the last 2 years.
Yeah, but they still don't hold any positions of power, Gwen. Let's be realistic here. They're not in positions of industry power in any sense of the imagination.
Well,
only in their minds
they
rule, but they don't rule anything else.
Well, I wouldn't say they didn't. I mean, you've got a kid in Ireland that just figured out how to take nanoplastic out of the ocean, Jack. I would rethink
that
one.
That's great, but that's hardly a household word, Gwen. Let's get real here. These people are not in power. They don't influence anybody yet. It's too early. And it's too bad because they're so sorely needed. But, you know, we can't act like they're in power and they can influence things like mad. They can't. Not yet.
They can influence with a vote, though. Remember, it was only 77,000.
That's important. That's very important. Yep.
That was only 77,000 votes. Those kids have registered over a million. Over a million who are going to be voting. And every one of those kids is against assault weapons and on top of climate change. You think
and they're anti-Trump voters for the most part, the overwhelming part. Yep.
Well, you think they're going to be voting for Biden? Well, anti-Trump buckets. But they will not vote for someone like Joe Biden.
No, I don't think they won't either. And, you know, it's really sad to see that how far Biden has fallen, because when he began his career, he was an unabashed liberal. But he's gotten a little more a conservative as time has gone on, and it's going to hurt him, because the Democratic Party is no longer a moderate party. It's gone sharply to the left, and let's hope it hasn't gone too far to the left for the general electorate. I don't think it has, but I think it's really pushing the agenda leftward, and that's a good sign.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how far.
Wait a minute. I'm going to kind of shift gears here, at least make note of it for our listeners here. This week, we have left the nuclear arms short-range medium missile treaty with Russia, which means both sides now can upgrade, start building nuclear weapons that are strategically attacking each other.
Ooh.
This is what Putin and Trump administrations have done.
Yep.
They are taking us away from what has worked and kept us safe, and now they're pulling that genie out of the bottle.
Well, you know, what we really have to do first is to ditch the Republicans. There's no other way to say it. It's not just Trump. Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham.
Oh, he's pathetic.
Have you seen how many Republicans are actually resigning and giving up their seats?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Texas alone?
Yeah, there's like seven.
Yeah, Texas
of
all places. My God, you know, there's a big change about ready to groundswell up and hit the surface, and it will catch some people by surprise. But I think we're on top of it, and I think we're going to forecast correctly that there will be a huge shift in the party's structures in 2020.
Yeah, let's just hope they aren't like the last Democrat who got elected, I guess, to the Senate out of Texas. She's a rhino,
Dino,
or whatever
it's called. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be I don't think it'll be Beto O'Rourke or anybody like that, but it'll be somebody a lot more progressive than what we've seen so far, than Ann Mitchell or whatever her name was again.
I
forget her name. The governor, former governor.
Ann Richards, you mean?
Ann Richards, that's what it was, yeah.
Ann Richards, she was one hell of a gal.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah.
I love the DNC. He can't help it. He was built with a silver foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't care.
Well, you know, the week that's coming up, we'll see. I mean, how long do we have now until another debate, Jack?
Well, it's going to be in Houston on September 12th and 13th, if they need the 13th. It remains to be seen, because a lot of people are failing to qualify right now because of specifications that the Democratic Party has set up. And they're failing to meet the mark because they're peripheral people. Let's get real. They don't have mass appeal. John Hickenlooper doesn't even belong in a race. I don't know what the hell he's even staying in for. Guys like him that are drawing 0 to 1.1 to 2%, if they don't have at least 2% and a certain amount of funds raised, they're out of it. So that'll be the end of their candidate. And that'll be fine to thin the ranks. I have an upcoming post based on thinning of the ranks, how they do need to thin down because they're way too big right now.
And they can find that post where?
At the Saturday Afternoon Post. At www.jodell.com, and that'll lead you right to it, and that's going to appear this next week. I think on the I can't remember if it's going to be Mondays or Thursdays. I do them so far ahead, and I add to them as the week goes on. But at any rate, it's upcoming. Let's put it that way.
There's news out within the last hour that apparently the White House is deleting some of Trump's tweets that refer to immigrant invasions and invaders from his account.
It's riling up too many of the nut jobs, you know?
Well, the thing is you're talking about, you know, the book 1984, that's what the hero's job was. Go through, delete out what they don't want to have true.
Right.
Henceforth, never happened.
Yeah.
This is 1984, Big Brother and News.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like the last 30 years, the rewriting of World War II and the German experience, I guess. I wanted to also get in or ask your opinions on the one thing today that, or in the last like 40 hours, that's been real, real prevalent. I mean, people have noticed that not on Fox, nowhere, has Trump been in sight or addressed the press.
I like it when he's quiet like that. That's a healthy thing. I won't argue with that. I love it.
He's acting like a coward.
Well, he is a coward.
Yeah, he is. He's a bully and a coward.
Yep.
Yep.
Most bullies are. Once you punch him in the nose once, they get real quiet and they go off in a corner and hide and sulk. That's all he's any good for anyway. He's worthless. He's not a leader.
They sneak up when your back is turned. Remember that one.
Oh yeah, well that's part of their method of operation. That's what they do the best because they're too afraid to get confronted with anybody that knows anything. You know, it's a shame, but that's the world we're faced with for now, at least until we get rid of that son of a bitch. He's got to go though. He's worthless.
One last thing I would like to mention is the fact that in the last 40 hours there has been an even larger and growing crowd out in front of the White House. Mostly
great.
Of mothers who are demanding action on gun control.
Good. Good. Long overdue. Maybe finally we'll get some positive action on that topic. We've ignored it and pushed it away and just basically neglected it for way too long, and too many innocent people are getting killed constantly. This shit's got to end. I'm all for Second Amendment rights, but I'm also... I'm also very strongly opposed to Second Amendment abuse, and nobody ever talks about that. The Second Amendment is being abused like a son of a bitch across the board, and it's got to stop.
Well, it was created for the Minutemen. What it was created for.
And that was 200-some years ago.
And it was a needful thing because we were at war on our land.
Right.
You know?
And now the right wing is paranoid, and they're afraid that you've got to have guns in your house. Everybody's got to have guns to protect them against the government, like the government's swooping in and going to throw you in concentration camps the way they did in Nazi Germany. It won't happen here in the States. We won't allow it to happen. We're too independent-minded.
Right.
Agreed. Well, gentlemen, we're at the end of our big time gap. It is, but we got some good stuff in, and that's what counts.
Everybody, keep your eyes open and keep pushing forward. You've got to, because we're sliding backwards at a record pace under Trump, and we're getting nowhere real fast. And we've got to go somewhere. We're too great a country, and we're too progressively oriented to just slide backwards into oblivion. So we've got to get on the ball here and really take the bull by the horns and shake it around a little bit.
I agree, Jack.
Yes.
Yep.
I agree. Wayne, thank you so much for being here, buddy.
Always a pleasure, girl. And Jack, you too.
Yeah, and good to hear from you again, Wayne. It's always good to hear from you, my friend. You keep up the good work and get settled in there in Annapolis area and keep us abreast of what's going on in that part of the country.
Yeah, we're doing it a little bit at a time. We're not knocking ourselves out. So
that's all right, buddy. That's all you can do.
Good night, all.
Good night. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jack. Thank you. That's Jack Jodell. That's Saturday Afternoon Post. This has been Here Be Monsters Radio with the Sunday Show. We thank you for listening, and please listen again next Sunday at 6 p.m. I'm Gwendolyn Berry, and that's all that we have for you tonight. Good night, and as Jack says, keep pushing forward. Good night, Jack.
Good night, Gwen. Good night, Wayne. Everybody have a great week.